Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll go ahead and call to order this hearing of September 26th. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll go ahead and call to order the hearing of September 26, 2018, in the matter of LU 18142442 CUMSAD, the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Master Plan. My name's Joe Turner. I'm the city's hearings officer. Start with some brief announcements and a summary of the process we'll follow. I start by saying I am not a city employee. I'm licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I serve under contract to the city council. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the application before me today. My role as a hearings officer is to conduct public hearings and make decisions about certain land use matters in the city of Portland. In making those decisions, I am required to apply the city's existing laws. I'm not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with City Council and Planning Commission to do that. But state law requires that this application be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker. I believe I am unbiased with regard to this application. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, and I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. With this particular project, I am familiar with the area because I ride my bike through there about twice a month on the trail that goes right around the outside of the site. Haven't done that since I got this application, but I am familiar with the site. That is a bit of an ex parte contact. I'll put it out on the record. If anybody wants to further question about that, feel free. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality and argue that I'm biased in one way or another, including that. And you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. Procedure will follow. I'll start by asking staff to summarize their staff report, copies of which are available at the table over there at the back of the room. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present their proposal and respond to the staff report. If anyone else wants to testify about this application in support, in opposition, or with questions or concerns, they may do so. Once everyone has had an initial opportunity to testify, I'll give staff and the applicant an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. Generally, I'll issue a written decision within about 2 weeks after the close of the record, so if you testify orally or in writing, you'll be sure and receive a copy of my decision. If you want to be sure and receive a copy and you don't want to testify, you can provide your name and address to staff after the hearing and they will send you a copy as well. Anyone with an interest in this application may offer relevant oral or written testimony, but testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria which are set out in the staff report. It is important that you make your best case to me because although my decisions are subject to appeal to the City Council, Council may not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. They may decide the appeal based on the record before me. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker know something about this application, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. In order to preserve your right to appeal my decision, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue with enough specificity that people can understand what it is. And finally, if the applicant wants to object to any conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, the applicant must raise those issues before me as well. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. If I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. If regardless of whether the hearing is held, or the record is continued or the hearing is held open. Let me put that, the record is held open or the hearing is continued, I'm reversing it there. For any other reason, state law requires that that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose. But if anyone else wants to have me hold the record open or continue the hearing for any other reason, you must make that request before the close of the record today, close of the hearing today. When you testify, please come on up to the table here. We need to make sure you're on a microphone. Our hearings are recorded. That's part of our record in the event of an appeal. Please begin your testimony by stating your full name and mailing address, including your zip code. And please spell your last name so I get it right. And if you represent someone else, please say so. But unless there's any questions, that concludes my introduction. Okay, Mr. Moffitt.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Turner. And again, our case file today, LU18-142442-CUMSAD. Let's see. In summary, the proposal is an updated conditional use master plan for the city's primary wastewater treatment plant on Columbia Boulevard with some adjustments. The proposal involves intensification of uses on the main campus, no trail and a new storage yard on the west campus, and ongoing Triangle Lake restoration and maintenance work. The site has been under master plan since 1997. There's some changes, but overall not a whole lot of change from the last master plan. Just kind of getting more intense on the main campus and moving away from expansion west of Portland Road. Since I wrote this slide yesterday, we did get two letters, which I'll submit into the record today, both in support. One from a professor at University of Portland and one from a longtime member of the Citizen Advisory Committee. No objections, just glowing positives. This case is being reviewed under old code. It's the planner lingo. It was submitted prior to the comprehensive plan changes on May 24th, so it will be vested in that old code, and this is the old zoning map. It'll be vested in that old code, those regs, for the life of this master plan. We have industrial-based zones, environmental overlay zones, recreational trail designation, some small areas of OS and R5 zoning, just almost too insignificant to mention. I put the red ovals on the map to show where those occur. And the approval criteria are in Chapter 815, Section 220. We include by reference all the regulations in Chapter 254, mining and waste-related uses, and we also have the master plan and approval criteria and components in Chapter 820. I should have mentioned we have Fabio DeFreitas and Emma Colesmith here for and Abigail Cernak if there's BES or PBOT questions, okay. Which I don't anticipate, but they're here. Just a brief aerial photo of the site. I just took this from the computer so it doesn't have the boundary, but it shows areas off the site, the golf course and the Smith and Bybee Lakes to the northwest, but you can see the heart of the campus and the surrounding industrial uses and some residential south of Columbia Boulevard. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the site plans. They just show the campus and the sectors. Quite a few site pictures. I'll try to go through them quickly. This is the parcel south of Columbia Court that's being added. The master plan expanded just a little bit to include this Portsmouth Force Main facility. It's really just like a pump station that you'd find in any other neighborhood. It's not part of the odorific sewer stuff. Since the last master plan, this nice new building has been created along the south edge of the campus. It kind of creates a nice sort of gateway and buffer to the more industrial, utilitarian-looking structures. It's the sort of new front door. Really nice building, a lot of public activity and education activities happening there. Looking west from that same point, just out south of the entry, you can sort of see over towards the more exposed, on the far left, just past the telephone pole, you can see one of the storage building that's in the far, like, southwest corner and some of the other structures. I took this picture sort of looking the other way at the plant entrance to sort of well, you're familiar with it, but it's not a campus that has like a 6-foot hedge screen right along the edge. It's more porous. You can see into and through the campus through sort of shrubby natural vegetation and a more open fence design. Again, along the south edge, showing how you can sort of see into the campus through the gate. This is the trail area on the east of the campus. I just noticed on the site visit, it's not really a big deal, but the fence here does sort of block off this little part of the trail. beyond what's shown on the site plans. On the site plans and the master plan, it still shows the fence where it was in 2011, which is a little bit west of here. Mm-hmm. There's this like extra path up to the top of a hill, sort of a lookout. Anyway, that's closed off now. The main trail does still provide access through the site. Up along the slough, just looking east to sort of the dead end of the trail, east of the site on the south side of the slough. Again, sort of turning around, looking into the campus from the slough side, you see, you know, storage areas and campus structures and facilities. Looking east on the slough, the water's pretty low, and west on the slough from the pedestrian bridge. There's two channels on the slough. This is looking down the north channel on the east side. Looking north in Triangle Lakes, undergoing some maintenance work and restoration. This is sort of the construction entrance to the Triangle Lakes on the southwest corner. Now I'm over on Portland Road, looking south, sort of towards the west campus on the narrow little sidewalk there. Again, coming down towards the west campus, this is just the shoulder of Portland Road. The welding building is here on the right, an existing welding building. I assume there's some permit for that. I didn't do the digging, but when you get your zoning permit as required, you'll want to probably dig for a permit on this shop to show that it's probably in the setback. So you want to hopefully find a permit for that, because it probably is in the setback from the IG2 zone. But it looks like it's been there forever, as you can see. This is just, again, the West Campus area. There is a improved driveway that's been there for a long time that serves Columbia Steel, which is the property to the west.
Are we looking down Portland Road there?
Or no, we're looking from Portland Road into the West Campus. And this is just a private driveway on the south edge.
The welding building we were just looking at is to our right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, I walked another, you know, 50 feet down to the driveway entrance. And this looks like it's a road, but it's not signed as a road. It is a private driveway, and it just runs along the very southern edge. It does show on the site plans of this west campus, and it's serving Columbia Steel. Okay. It also serves this storage yard, the driveway to which is just on the right foreground there. Another look back from that private driveway on the south edge of the west campus in towards the storage yard. And now I'm back out on Portland Road, just looking towards the main campus. There's a bermed railroad passage through there and pretty dense vegetation. So I just included this slide to show that you really can't see into the campus looking east from Portland Road. It's a berm you can't see over in a bunch of trees. The site plans, again, I'm not going to spend time on these. They're all in the file. They show the projects. There's an implementation guide. I'm not going to spend time on that. So summary of the analysis, the use of the West Campus as a storage facility can meet the approval criteria if they get a zoning permit to document where it is and that the setback and landscaping standards are met, and then it's out of the environmental zone, basically. Probably, hopefully not a big deal. With the one exception I mentioned of this old welding shop, there is a street setback, and it looks like that shop might be kind of in that setback. But if they can find a building permit that showed that, that would have grandfather rights. Mm-hmm. Just a clarification that temporary construction staging uses are not like an approved project or really part of the master plan. There's other regulations in 296 that apply, and there's a sign they're redoing off Columbia Boulevard that's just technically off their site. That's not really a master plan project, just a simple clarification via condition of approval. There were some unstriped parking that probably functions like parking. It was shown on just one of the exhibits, so I just flagged that as not legal and relied upon as existing or required parking in the record, just as a clarification. That whole area of the site's getting redeveloped anyway, so probably not a big issue. There's a development review guide imposed via condition of approval just to sort of ease project review. Planning and zoning staff, especially on these master plans, are spend a lot of time just trying to figure out how to review a project. And just because of a couple inconsistencies and missing stuff, I boil it down into a one-pager, really more for our purposes. The master plan document will still serve the applicant's
needs and guide them, but this is just like the one pager for staff and for the public really to know. There is a condition of approval tied to the neighborhood involvement criteria that the applicant does this already, but there is a condition making them keep track of outreach to the neighborhood before they come in for permitting on projects and keep a record of that outreach. There is a condition that requires projects along the southwest edge where they're proposing some landscaping mitigation, a condition that requires that landscaping to go in when they do either of those nearby projects. So that's the trigger for that landscaping. I did not impose a similar trigger for the north side landscaping, which hopefully they'll do when they do the big digesters right there, but there's no trigger for that. And then because the adjustments are kind of tricky, but at the same time we've been approving them for over two decades since 1997, basically in the same location, and the plans weren't a scalable, I couldn't scale with an architect or engineer scale on the plans. So instead of phrasing everything exactly down to the exact dimension on the setback adjustments, the compromise to sort of just approve things as they're shown, because everything is a project with a footprint and a location. I just have a condition that says projects don't move closer to the edge than they're shown as. So they could get bigger and move, you know, laterally to a perimeter edge or closer in, but not closer to the edge, as a sort of a good enough on the approval for those adjustments, because basically otherwise we waived those standards. So the staff recommendation is approval of a conditional use master plan for the project for 10 years from the date of the hearings officer decision that establishes an expiration date. We have the adjustments to allow processing of waste products outdoors. We have the adjustment to waive the waste-related setbacks. And now I'll just briefly go over. So in the record, in addition to the file I'm submitting today, is a revised hearing notice, a memo from the applicant regarding the footprint and location of Project N14 with some supporting documents. And I have purple font on the top, and it says exhibit to reference at end of new condition G on the top. This is important. I'll go into this on the couple slides.
Okay, this is something you're submitting.
Yeah.
This isn't what the applicant submitted yesterday.
No, it's parallel. I didn't look at what you submitted yesterday, but.
My glasses on. August 10th, 2018 memo from Clark Worth with Barney and Worthy. That's what it says at the top of mine. If that's the
regarding
same.
Waste gas burners in the first item.
It's an August 24 memo. Or I'm sorry, September 24 memo.
That's I've got that too. I represent the Portland Bureau, the applicant, reviewing the tentative, noted several inconsistencies.
Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah, stuff. Okay. It's I was looking at the wrong one.
Yeah, so you've got some extra supporting stuff. That is also contained here.
Yes.
I have a condition of approval where I'm asked, this doesn't have an H stamp on it yet. It will eventually.
Right.
So in my proposed new condition, which I'll get to in a couple slides, I'm asked, you've got to fill in the blank H, what, whatever this is. And it's the one with the purple letters on top.
Okay.
So in short, there was some mix up in the plans, but it doesn't really matter because some of the plans do show this bigger footprint. Not all of them do. It's okay that the ones that don't show it. We have a clarifying condition that references the place in their application where it is shown in a bigger footprint and this new exhibit they submitted that also shows the bigger footprint. Just to clarify that for this project is allowed in the setback. The project was shown outside the setbacks.
The gas burner.
On the original application and then the revised plans for completeness, it moved a little bit into the setback.
Okay.
So we have the plans that show it in the setback in the A exhibits and in this H exhibit. And so our new condition of approval, in addition to adding this, the red text is new. You'd have to add this manually to the adjustment language. And I cover this in a memo. There's sort of an insert here at the bottom. Basically, we just have to get this N14 project on the adjustment list.
Right.
And referenced correctly. The last adjustment is to the landscaping. So we have conditions of approval. requiring the development review guide, requiring a zoning permit to legalize the storage yard on the west campus. There's some advisory language in here about encouraging native plants and more shielding of storage yard activity from the environmental zone. That's not really required. It's just a, you might want to do this to be nice. You don't have to. But basically getting a permit to show where, you know, the boundaries of that work is over there, of those activities. Clarifying that the temporary construction stuff and off-site work and the unstriped parking are not approved. Providing the written notice to the neighborhood and keeping a record of that before you come in for permits. Doing that Southwest landscaping when the nearby projects come in. Not allowing projects to move closer to the boundary than shown for those adjustments and the setbacks. And then this is the new language. So this is just advisory, basically, to capture the applicant's concern. And it says, Project N14 waste gas burners is approved with a somewhat larger footprint than shown on the C exhibits, having moved to the west towards North Portland Road as shown on updated figure 5-2A and exhibit A8, which is already in the record, and as illustrated in the applicant's post-staff report submittal exhibit H blank. And that's where you have to put in the number there and then delete the parenthetical thing. I tried to make that as simple and clean as possible because I don't think we have any other controversial stuff here today.
Okay, appreciate that.
And I believe that is the it, unless you have questions.
The applicant also submitted an August 10th memo to you, basically clarifying some things. Are any changes warranted as a result of that staff report?
Can I just glance at that briefly? I know I've seen it. Oh. No, this was the cover memo submitted at the time of the case was made complete.
Okay.
And it provides some clarifications, but that's already captured in the findings.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And that's already in the record, too, as an A exhibit somewhere.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, since that I know it doesn't apply, the new K overlay zone, what does that?
It's a prime industrial overlay zone that further restricts uses in the industrial zones beyond what they are in old code.
Okay.
Limits self-service storage and a couple other things. More restrictive on retail, I think.
There's a minor typo on the bottom of page 7, paragraph, the bullet starting exhibit 8-9, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line up from the bottom of that page. The existing pedestrian networks, public recreational trails, and bike facilities must be maintained on the life during the course of the master plan.
What?
I'm assuming it should say on the site during the course of the master plan.
You said
plan
page 7?
Yes. Exhibit A9 is the bullet, and it's the almost. Your paragraph looks a little smaller than mine, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I'm printing them off of Word.
Oh.
And I think the pages shift, so I've underlined it there.
Yeah,
so I think it's on your next page.
On page 8.
At the very bottom of that paragraph.
The existing pedestrian networks, public recreational trails, and bike facilities must be maintained on the site.
That's what I thought.
On the life during the course of the master plan. No, on the site.
Okay, I wasn't sure if life should be moved somewhere else, but just site. Okay.
Right.
And that was page 7.
On the site for the life of the master plan was maybe where I was trying to go.
That's what I figured, but so during the course of the master plan is still good?
Yeah.
Okay. Not a critical issue, but I wanted to make sure we get it straight when I rewrite it. On page 15 in condition D, require notice to the neighborhood for page 15 refers to major projects. Condition D uses a slightly different listed projects. Are they listed somewhere, or the major projects? When obviously you're requiring notice to the neighborhood when they're doing something bigger. What's bigger?
The projects on A16, which is the not attached, but it's the project, the one pager project list, C1.
Or it's in a few tables, it's on.
Yeah, it's.
If there's something, should we insert a reference to an exhibit or something to clarify what projects are?
I included it, it's elsewhere in the file as table G11, or GI1, but I made it C16 as well.
Exhibit C16?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the one pager with both phase 1 and 2 of all the named listed projects.
So if we say advanced written or email notice for construction of projects listed in exhibit C16?
That would be cleanest, yeah.
Good.
GI1.
And oh, there we go. Looking at the wrong page. On, well, my page 32, under your tentative staff recommendations, 1/3 approval of an adjustment paragraph regarding the setbacks.
Uh-huh.
You noted you proposed some amended, adding the burners to that one, and that makes sense. But this condition also refers to storage buildings, storage shed, main substation, and secondary clarifiers that aren't discussed on page 28 and 29 under that particular adjustment.
Under the findings?
Yeah. The finding says there's 4 projects, stormwater treatment vaults, gas burners, restoration of the lagoon, and potential for pedestrian paths and bridges.
You don't need the adjustments. I should have deleted that D because you don't need adjustments for the waste related uses.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really need the setback adjustments for those ped paths and interpretive displays.
Yes.
I
understood that from your finding.
But there's missing items, is
yeah.
What you're saying.
There's missing items. So the storage shed, the storage buildings, the main substation, and the secondary clarifiers are all listed in the adjustment condition, or the approval of the adjustment, but they're not listed in the findings.
Without narrating specific findings in here, I would just throw something in there that those storage buildings are all existing today, their footprint is not changing, and they're being refurbished. So there's no, all those U projects are just upgrades. So everything that was approved in the setback.
So no changes to the existing setback.
Everything except the N14 waste gas burners in the setbacks are basically remodeling what's already there. So that would be the finding I would make.
I can do that.
Yeah. Those U means an upgrade. So everything except the N14 is a U.
Okay.
So it's not really changing any impacts on the surroundings. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
That was sloppy.
And then the September 24th memo from the applicants, their response to the staff report. They note that exhibits C8 and C10 attached to the staff report aren't the right ones. Exhibit C8, they say, is the March 2018 version, and there's a revised version that was submitted in August, but I don't see a date on mine.
The dates are the same.
Okay.
I'll say July 17th, I think, on the bottom.
I just need to, when I issue the decision and attach the exhibits, I just need to pull exhibits or figure 5-2A.
No, you don't need to change any of the attachments unless you want to.
Okay. That's what I thought they were seeking here.
we took care of that in this case instead of having a swap out, as I'll detail in my memo in a little more, which I didn't, there's a little more information in this memo. Basically, there's other plans that still show that smaller footprint too.
Mm-hmm.
And since the only change between the old and the new plans was project N14 getting a little bigger, going into the setback, mm-hmm. those old plans still work with for everything except N14. So there's...
I don't need to change what exhibits
are. So what I was trying to avoid was having you going in and swapping in and out C exhibits, because then you would have C and H. For one thing, you would have to change the approval language to reference C1 through plus H2 plus
D. I don't have to,
you know, it gets really baroque really fast.
Up.
So, plus there is lots of other supplement. Well, there was four other C3, C4, C12, and C14, mm-hmm. which are still necessary in the file, but show that smaller original footprint and which were not updated. So it's just the intent of my language in the memo on the new condition and adding N14. Is just that one condition for that one project
concern.
Will fix that one item. Good. Otherwise, those old site plans are 100% accurate.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure if I needed to swap them out, which ones I need to swap out with. And if I don't, great.
Just read my memo. I didn't really narrate the whole thing, but
yeah,
you know,
I will
that,
do that
N14 change was the only change, and we do need those other plans in the record that show the smaller footprint for other reasons.
Yeah.
So it's cleaner just to leave the C's as they are, not tweak the language.
Makes sense.
And add this new G condition.
Thank you. Yep. Anything else from City? Okay. It's the applicant here representing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'll go first there.
Okay.
I'm Clark Worth with Barney and Worth. It's 121 Southwest Morrison, 97204. And with me is Muriel Gezet Teufel, who's an engineer, the supervising engineer on the master plan for the Portland Bureau of Environmental Services. First and foremost, I want to say thanks to the reviewer, Mark Moffitt, for taking on what may be, and mastering what may be the most complex conditional use master plan application today. With 200 pages and 23 tables, 30 figures, 17 appendices. We generally concur with the staff report and recommended conditions of approval with only one exception, and that is the exception that Mr. Moffitt has been mentioning, and I'll detail a little bit as well. The Columbia Boulevard treatment plant has been operating continuously 24/7, 365 days a year at the same location for 66 years. It's the one facility nearly every Portland home and business uses every day. The treatment plant's on a 150-acre site in three sectors that are all properly zoned industrial land and well buffered from neighbors. This is the fourth master plan since the first one in 1997, after it was determined that the city of Portland actually had to comply with the planning and zoning code for its own facilities. And since then, all of the master plan applications have been approved with conditions, and the Bureau of Environmental Services has a good track record of compliance. The application itself, prior master plans have typically been driven by one or two major projects at that time. So kind of every decade, or maybe a little more often, something comes up that requires a new master plan. Last time it was the office building, the administration building that Mark showed in the presentation, and the meeting center that's at the front of the plant site. This time there's one major project again, new secondary clarifiers on the main plant site. But the Bureau also did a comprehensive review of future needs, and there are 40 more planned projects in addition to that one major project, new and upgraded buildings and treatment process improvements. Other significant changes this time: Multnomah County Vector Control, which has been co-located on the site for decades, is being required to move off-site to make room for treatment plant facilities as the density of treatment processes increases. Also, the new secondary clarifiers that I mentioned are proposed this time for the main treatment plant site. In the prior master plans, they were shown in the west area. But the Bureau of Environmental Services and its engineers determined they could save tens of millions of dollars if they could find a way to keep it on the main plant site and run it more efficiently there. So that's the proposal. And there's a little more of a cool factor in this plan. There's a new facility for processing food waste that's collected citywide. There are green roofs added to most of the buildings out there. And there is a large solar array that is part of the master plan. Despite the plant's steady growth, there's been a steady decline in truck traffic over the years, thanks to process improvements. So there's been less impact over the years on the transportation system and on neighbors. For the adjustments requested with the application, the same or similar adjustment requests have been approved in prior master plan applications. There's a long history of the Columbia Boulevard plant working closely with the community. And, of course, central to its mission, this is the most important facility in Portland for protecting the environment and producing clean water. And that's been the mission for the treatment plant for 66 years. There are a number of other points of successful collaboration with surrounding neighborhoods over the last decades, including investing millions of dollars to fulfill a city council mandate to prevent off-site odor impacts, converting the disinfection process from chlorine gas to a much safer sodium hypochlorite bleach solution to safeguard plant neighbors and employees, building a network of trails and a bridge that you use across the SLU that connects North Portland neighborhoods with the 40 Mile Loop Trail System, and that was all done by BES as part of prior master plan improvements. Serving as a science classroom lab for K-12, for trade apprentices, and for university students, providing natural gas generated on site to some area industries, and I'm proud to say I've personally been involved with the neighborhoods and the treatment plant on these issues for 25 years myself. Mark mentioned the correction that we had requested in our communication. We initially submitted the application in March. The other bureaus and BDS requested more information. We resubmitted in August, and the revised application was accepted for review August 10th. The change pages were submitted actually to your office, the hearings office, in preparation for this hearing. And the version that I'll be talking about is that version. It's the August version, not the March version. But the revised application updated 9 chapters of the master plan and replaced 5 tables, 7 figures, 3 appendices, and the adjustment requests. So a lot of changes in that August version. And that may have created the old and the new, I suspect, may have created some confusion just between what is the old and what's the new application. In reviewing the tentative staff recommendations, we noted some inconsistencies and submitted notice on that. Mr. Moffitt has gone through that, and it sounds as if that has been corrected. I think we've covered all of the rest of that. September 24th communication requested that inconsistencies with the August 2018 application be corrected. And again, I think it's just as simple as having the two side by side, looking at the earlier March version rather than the August version in some cases. And that showed up in figures that are attached to the recommendation. This is a 150-acre NIMBY facility, located close to North Portland neighborhoods and environmental resources. And what has been the response? The response, as far as I'm aware of it, is we have only heard positive support. We had one contact for a request for information, which I forwarded. All of the rest, I've gotten through the process here, just copies of letters of support from people who are knowledgeable of and been involved in the treatment plan. And we may have some speak today, and I think that's a tribute to the Bureau of Environmental Services and their long-lived stewardship of this very important facility to Portland. They've invested millions and millions of dollars in making sure that that treatment plant it becomes a good neighbor and then stays a good neighbor. And that tradition continues today. With that, we're prepared to answer any questions. Again, Muriel is the engineer. I'm the planner here.
Okay. The only question I have is the condition. Are you okay with the revised condition that Mr. Moffitt has proposed?
Yes, as I understand it, the we need approval for the setback adjustment for that one facility. It's a 150 square foot facility, all told. You know, the three burners amount to 150 square feet, which is about the size of somebody's living room.
Okay. I don't have any questions. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to testify about this application in support, in opposition, or with questions? Yes, sir. Looks like you're it.
Looks like it.
Good morning, all. My name is Gordon Bussey, B-U-S-S-E-Y, and my home address is 3939 North Marine Drive, which puts me within about a quarter of a mile of the outflow of the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant. I moved there 28 years ago and became interested in the process of making dirty water clean and how the city does it. And now for some 20 plus years, I've been a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Wastewater Treatment Plant. They gave me a plaque. That means I've been there a long time. That's all I know. And I'm here essentially to say certainly in approval of the master plan and to express some pride as a neighbor of my ability to watch and participate and back every move that I've seen for 20-some years now when it comes to making the neighborhood a clean, safe place, when it comes to paying attention to anybody's objection or question about the operation of the plant. They are answered immediately sometimes by more than one person. I have, with my bicycle, enjoyed the backside of the plant, and over the years I've watched the reclamation of Triangle Lake, the covering and capping of I got to use the word, I'm so fond of it, but it slips my mind, legacy solids. I just love that. It's a great euphemism, you know. So they're covering the legacy solids, and it's going to look like a park, and right now every step taken by the wastewater treatment crew is to keep its plant within the boundaries, to operate it as effectively and inexpensively as is humanly possible, and plan for every possible problem that might come up and a way to fix it. I'm most impressed with the process, and I will continue to show up as a committee member because I really like what they're doing. And that's my statement.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for your service on the Citizens Advisory Committee. Is anyone else who'd like to say anything about this application? Anything else from staff? Nope. Okay. Mr. Wirth, do you want to, the applicant has the right to have me hold the record open for an additional week to submit a final written argument. Do you want to waive that right?
I think hearing no opposition, we would ask the record be closed.
Okay, I will do that. With that, I will close the hearing and close the record, and based on the findings in the staff report as amended today by the various exhibits which haven't been marked yet, I will approve this application subject to the conditions of approval in the staff report as amended by those memos, and I will also amend the findings to include the additional facilities that are within the setback that are discussed in the adjustment approval but not in the findings, so I will fix that. But I will issue that decision within about 2 weeks, and the city will send it to parties of record, so if you've testified orally or in writing, you'll be sure and receive a copy. That concludes our hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.